This is Panthers Insider, an in-depth preview of the week.
Kishani scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Welcome in to another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning as always. And we are back to the regularly scheduled National Hockey League programming tonight. It's the Florida Panthers and the Seattle Kraken resuming the NHL schedule tonight. 6 o'clock, Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. 5:30, we're on the air with Panthers Preview. You can join us there across the radio network. 560 WQAM, our flagship home in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. Real Radio 92.1 in the Palm Beaches. Real Radio 101.7 up on the Treasure Coast. 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. If you're a Sirius XM subscriber, Channel 220. In the car, on your app, or the Panthers app, of course, takes all the guesswork out of it. Download the Panthers app. We're getting into the stretch run of the season now. 25 games to go in the regular season. Get that Panthers app if you don't have it. It's free. You can hit that radio button for free in the top right corner of your Panthers app's main screen. Get our broadcast each and every game. Again, Doug Plagans with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass, resuming the action tonight. But since the last time we spoke to you, it certainly was an eventful week. We had the Four Nations face-off continuing on. We had two USA-Canada matchups. Of course, the Team USA squad, they won the game 1 week ago tonight. That one, of course, headlined by the three fights in the first 9 seconds. And there was some Panthers interest in those, of course. Matthew Tkachuk involved in one of them. Sam Bennett involved in one of them playing for Team Canada. Then you had the gold medal game, the championship game a couple of nights ago. USA, Canada set all kinds of records as far as TV viewership goes, things like that. Everybody was glued to it. It was a great night, a great tournament for the sport of hockey. Team USA falling just short in that one, but a couple of Panthers, of course, taking home gold in the Four Nations face-off. Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett, a big goal in that championship game, and Sam Reinhart had an assist in the game. And now everybody will reconvene tonight, and the Panthers and the Seattle Kraken will hit the ice, and the Panthers will resume the NHL schedule. It was a big week for the NHL and a big week for the sport of hockey. And, well, as we talk about what we have coming up here on this edition of the Panthers Insider Show, we will hear from a couple of the Panthers on their Four Nations face-off experiences. The guys starting to trickle back to South Florida over the last couple of days. We'll hear from Alexander Barkov and Gus Forsling coming up. They represented Team Finland, Team Sweden, respectively. The Panthers were more represented in terms of players than any other team in the NHL was. And that's what happens when you have sustained success like the Panthers have. And you have, like I said, guys coming from a lot of different places and then having success here. And 8 different Panthers played in the Four Nations face-off. We'll hear from a couple of them coming up in just a few moments. We'll hear from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice as well. For a lot of the players across the National Hockey League, it was a chance to unwind a little bit, a chance to disconnect, a chance to recover, a chance to just recharge. And spoke to Evan Rodriguez about that a couple of days back. We'll get his thoughts on the break. Unconventional to have a nearly 2-week break right in the middle of the NHL season, especially a season like this one where you've had the rigorous schedule leading up, and then it's going to be a grind coming out of it as well. Interesting to have a couple of weeks off. We'll get Evan Rodriguez's thoughts on how valuable that could be. And I caught up with Panthers forward A.J. Greer as well. We'll hear that conversation coming up in just a few moments. Mentioning the Panthers and the Seattle Kraken hitting the ice tonight, Mike Benton does fine work on the Kraken Audio Network. He's going to stop by segment number 2, and we will chat about all things tonight's matchup, get the Seattle perspective on tonight's game, a team the Panthers don't see all that much. The second final matchup of the regular season for the Panthers and the Kraken tonight. Panthers did pick up a shootout win in Seattle back in December, so Panthers will look for the season series sweep tonight. Mike Benton from the Kraken Audio Network in segment number 2. And later on in the program, it is Heart Month from our friends at Baptist Health, of course. We will be joined by Dr. Eli Friedman, Director of Sports Cardiology, Baptist Health, South Florida. He's going to stop by coming up later on in the show. We will hear from him. So again, lots to get to over the course of this hour on the Panthers Insider Show. What lies ahead for the Panthers? I already mentioned the game tonight against Seattle. It's a 6 o'clock face-off at Amerant Bank Arena, and we'd love to see you there. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Quick road trip for the Panthers. They'll be in Nashville on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. Then right back home for a big one Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Panthers and the Oilers. A Stanley Cup final rematch, the second final matchup of the regular season for the Panthers and the Oilers. Edmonton's first trip to South Florida since the Panthers beat the Oilers in Game 7 of the Cup final back on June 24th. That's going to be a fun one. If you don't have your tickets, don't wait any longer. Jump online, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com. Get those tickets for Thursday, which is now a 7 o'clock start, folks. You may have some schedule materials that show it as a 7:30 start. It is a 7 o'clock puck drop coming up on Thursday evening, recently changed. The homestand will continue for the Panthers. It's a lengthy one. March 1st, flipping the calendar to March. That means playoff race time, division title race time. Panthers and the Calgary Flames, Saturday, March 1st, 3 o'clock. And then Monday the 3rd, Tampa Bay is in town. Thursday the 6th, Columbus comes in. Saturday the 8th, the Buffalo Sabres coming to town. And the Panthers with six consecutive road games in the middle of the month. So you want to make sure you get out there for this chunk of home-heavy hockey the Panthers have coming up here. And again, the Panthers and the Seattle Kraken tonight as the Panthers resume the NHL schedule. It's going to be a 6 o'clock face-off. Let's get into, well, hearing from a couple of the Panthers. Busy week as far as the Four Nations face-off was concerned. And one of the Panthers that was involved in the Four Nations face-off, captain of Team Finland, Alexander Barkov. He was back in town, practiced yesterday. And, well, here's Alexander Barkov. Even though his Team Finland squad didn't get to that championship game, everybody had a good showing in the tournament. Here's Alexander Barkov, Panthers captain, Team Finland captain, on his experience at the Four Nations face-off.
It was a great experience. Great matches, playing against best teams in the world. So it was fun. A lot of speed, a lot of skill. So it was a great challenge for us. We were happy to beat Sweden, that's for sure. And obviously not happy with the end result against Canada and USA, but overall, it was a great experience.
So Alexander Barkov right there, Panthers captain, talking about his experience at the Four Nations face-off. Of course, Team Finland also included Panthers Etu Luostarinen, Anton Lundell, and Nico Mikkola. Here's Gus Forsling of the Panthers as well, talking about his Four Nations face-off experience. He played for Team Sweden in the tournament.
Very cool experience, see so many fans and... You know, I think it was a big success overall for hockey. A lot of viewers and a lot of fun.
Can you describe what it felt like to experience that buzz during the games and just on the ice? What did the best-on-best format feel like in terms of the matchup?
Fast, very fast hockey. I mean, first game against Canada was awesome. Just the ceremony before with everyone there and full crowd, and it was awesome. Just to play with the players I play with in the Sweden team, and on the other side too, it was surreal and memory for life.
Gus Forsling of the Panthers played for Team Sweden in the Four Nations face-off. Here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. He said he was locked into all the action throughout the tournament, following along, really enjoyed watching all the games because there was at least one Panthers player on every team, but he had great things to say about the level of play, about the hockey that he saw over the course of the tournament. Here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice when he was asked what he thought the Four Nations face-off did for the game.
Oh, it was fantastic for what it is, at most a four-game tournament. So there's not a month-long build-up. It's not an Olympics where there's a history of it. I was as good as it could be. The games, credit Team Canada and USA for bringing physicality early, for bringing real hockey to that tournament early. And I think it changed the course of the rest of the games and got a whole bunch of people aware of it. It was at the top of most websites, whether they were hockey or not, and you couldn't have asked for more with that. Overtime in the final, it was as good as it gets.
Paul Maurice, Panthers head coach, talking about what he saw during the course of the Four Nations face-off. Now, for a lot of players across the NHL, it was a chance to recover, a chance to rest up for the stretch run. Here's Panthers forward Evan Rodriguez, caught up with him a couple of days back when the Panthers started their schedule up again when they hit the ice for practice back on Thursday. Caught up with him afterward, and this is Evan Rodriguez talking about the time off and what it meant to recharge.
Yeah, it was good. It was a nice break. Good family time. Nice to spend some time with my kids and just get a refresh, you know, not only physically, mentally too. Obviously coming off long season last year, and for a lot of these guys, you know, two long years, it was nice to just kind of turn it all off for a week. And you know, now we got 25 games left, and it feels like a little re-energized for that the final push.
And on that, you guys played a really condensed schedule leading up to it. Did you have, you know, moments during the last week and a half or so where you did start to think like, this really is a valuable stretch of time for me, knowing what lies ahead?
No, definitely. I think just again, the reset on your body and the reset mentally, just getting away kind of from the grind a little bit. And, you know, again, for myself, just getting time with family, being home, and just being with my kids was nice. And now you get back at it. And like I said, it's 25 games and you feel like, oh, I can definitely do that and heading into playoffs. So, it was a nice refresh. And now looking forward to that final push.
Evan Rodriguez of the Panthers right there said looking forward to the final push. The Panthers coming out of this break, they are in first place in the Atlantic Division. Three matchups against second place Toronto over the course of the rest of the season. So those three matchups could very well determine the outcome as far as the top spot in the Atlantic's concerned. Once in March, twice in April, Panthers and the Leafs will play. But in mentioning how valuable the break could be, had a chance to catch up with Panthers forward A.J. Greer. First season with the team, he's played every game this year. One-on-one conversation here. This is A.J. Greer. And the first thing I asked him was how valuable this break could be for the team, the chance to get the rest that they just had.
Oh, it was very valuable. Obviously, we had eight guys gone that were still playing, and they battled their, they really battled hard out there. So we're all proud of them, and it must be special to represent your country, and I know they take pride in that. But for the other guys, I think we definitely recharged and kind of took a mental break. I think the way we play as a group and how demanding the coaches are of our style of play, you know, it takes a toll on you, not only physically but mentally. So I think we use these last couple of weeks to definitely just kind of reset and take a moment to, you know, have a breath and then really just get ready for these last 25 games and then on to, you know, the real show, which is the playoffs. So personally for me, I definitely got to the beach, got to the pool. It's my son's first birthday, so I got to spend a lot of time with him, and yeah, it was great. It was great. You kind of, you know, take a few days to almost forget that it's the middle of the season. You know, now you come back, you got this fresh energy, this, you know, you kind of miss the game a little bit, and then you come back, and you're ready to play, so.
A couple things on that. You mentioned being able to take the break and use it positively. How much of a help was it? You guys were on a good run going into the break. Was it much easier to enjoy the break considering that you guys really got things rolling leading up to it?
Absolutely. When you know you did your job and things are positive in the locker room, things are going to be positive at home, things are going to be positive all around. And we earned that break and we earned the freedom to really take some time off and reset. So we're definitely looking to keep that momentum going and look forward to the most important part of the season, and take off where we left off. So I think everyone's really excited. The guys who went to Four Nations, it's no joke. Like, that hockey was a grind for them. And so hopefully they can, you know, rest a little bit. It's nice we have a homestand coming up. So I think that, you know, we'll take advantage of that. And it's always great to play at home and play in front of our fans, too.
A couple things I want to get to off of that as well. But you mentioned how demanding the style is here, mentally and physically. You're one of the guys on this team who has skated in every game this year. Your first season playing for Paul Maurice, what can you say about the experience playing for a guy who's a future Hall of Fame head coach, and you've come in here and you've had an opportunity, you've seized it, you've carved out a role for yourself. What's this first season as a Panther been like, and specifically playing for this coaching staff?
It's been amazing. Everything from my life off the ice to, you know, the organization, how they've treated myself, my family. And you know, the game plan itself, I think, stems from obviously the coaching staff and the respect that they have around the organization, around the players in this group, but also the leaders. And there's just such a positive feel to everything. And there's a willingness to play for each other and play for something that's a lot bigger than just, you know, statistical points and sort of things. So the coaching staff is demanding, but there's also such a big sense of pride in the locker room, and being able to play that the way these guys have played this year, after a cup win and after, you know, you've achieved the pinnacle of your sport, has been so impressive for me. And it's really shown me that, you know, these guys want to chase more, and they're real, real pros. So it's been really amazing just being able to work with the coaching staff, because they're very welcoming, and they want to make you into a better player, and they want to help you every day, and they're so positive. And it translates to the locker room, and I think everyone kind of has each other's backs, and there's a certain way that you play as a Florida Panther. And for the new guys that came in, you know, myself, Boki, Schmidty, I think we just kind of want to seamlessly just fit in, kind of come in and do our role, but not change anything. And I think we've done a great job at that. We've tried to add a little bit of our flair to the group, and but there's, you know, there's a recipe here, and there's a reason because of the success. So. Yeah, it's been really good so far.
And you mentioned kind of blending into that culture there. How long did it take you, do you feel like, to notice all that you just mentioned, that this is a group, obviously they've had success, but there's still a big hunger in this locker room and a team that knows it can get right back to where it did last year? Is that something that you noticed right out of the gate in training camp?
Yeah, definitely. The workload in training camp was no joke, and it's kind of a shock to my body. And you just try to keep up, and then all of a sudden you just kind of feel part of the group, and you bond with guys off the ice, and you kind of go through experiences. And I think we were lucky to experience Finland as a group early on in the season. That really helped, something to look forward to, and something out of the ordinary to be able to bond together. It was great. It was right from the start, I felt very welcome, and it felt really good. So I didn't know what to expect coming in. I knew that there's a huge amount of respect for the coaching staff out of this locker room, but I think I fit very well into this group, and I've just tried to be myself, and it's easy to be yourself when everyone's kind of just welcoming you and wanting you to be yourself. There's nothing, you know, no one walking on eggshells around here, and it's a very positive environment to be in every day.
And AJ, last thing here for you guys, you're going to be coming out of the break with a big Saturday night home game against Seattle, looking to keep the ball rolling, pick up where you guys left off before the break. It can be unconventional to have a gap in the schedule like this, no Panthers games for a couple of weeks. What's the biggest thing you think early on in this one to be able to find your footing, get right back to where you were before the Four Nations break?
Well, being in front of our fans is definitely going to help, and definitely expecting a good amount of people to show up for a Saturday game after a big break like this. So we're gonna be flying right away, and we got to get back to exactly how we play, and that's why these last two practices, you know, they've been hard, but it's good to get, you know, the rust off and come back to kind of our routine, and, you know, come back into our style of play. So just really looking forward to having a strong start. And you know, sometimes weird stuff happens when you come out of a break like this, first couple games, but we got to stick to the process and stick to what we do best, and I think we'll have a good amount of success. I think the schedule is looking good for us right now. With the homestand, you know, we got one game in Nashville, but that's something that's kind of a good setup for us to have, you know, a good amount of games lined up for success.
So Panthers forward A.J. Greer right there, first year with the team. He's carved out a good role for himself, and he's played in every game this season, as we mentioned there. And he and the Panthers resumed the schedule tonight, 6 o'clock against the Seattle Kraken at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise, Florida. Panthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK. We hope to see you there. We're just getting started here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you, Dan Day on the other side of the glass. And coming up next segment, we'll get the Seattle perspective on tonight's game from the Kraken Audio Network. Mike Benton is going to stop by. We'll chat with him. That's going to be coming up in our next segment. Folks, rolling along. This is the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Back here on Panthers Insider, Doug Plagans with you, Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Panthers getting things going once again tonight against the Seattle Kraken. 25 games left in the regular season. Panthers currently holding down the top spot in the Atlantic Division. Mentioned the Panthers home tonight, 6 o'clock against the Seattle, on the road Tuesday night in Nashville, then back home for a homestand after that. Folks, you can go to Pantherland for exclusive Panthers licensed merchandise, including one-of-a-kind gear, hockey-inspired fashion apparel, jerseys, and more. Shop now in-store or online. FLATeamShop.com is where to go. Well, had a chance to catch up with my old friend Mike Benton from the Kraken Audio Network to get the Seattle perspective to help preview tonight's matchup. Let's get into that conversation right now. Well, Mike, before we get into talking about the game coming up tonight, the Panthers and the Kraken resuming the NHL schedule, beginning the sprint to the finish, Four Nations face-off. I'm not sure what you expected going in. I'm not sure I totally expected what we saw, something that really captured the imagination of everybody. What did you think of the tournament, and were you as glued to it as I was? And how did that compare maybe to what you thought we were going to get going into it?
Yeah, Doug, thank you very much for having me. And I can honestly say, when it comes to watching a game without any kind of work attachments or extensions as well, I can't remember the last time I was so emotionally gripped watching a game like I watched on Thursday night in the championship game. It had drama. It had theater. I mean, it's almost as if the first game with USA-Canada, where we had, you know, the three tillies in the first 9 seconds, just gave us an appetizer of wanting more. And it really felt like the main course: tomahawk steak, medium rare, butter on top of it, everything that you can ask for in that type of a game. And I ran this question just in theory by a few colleagues, and even posted as well on social media the other night. And I said, if USA wins this game, for those who were around to see it, was it better than the 96 World Cup, or was the World Cup better? And you're going to get mixed reactions. And I understand this part, because for how gripping it was, the World Cup, and in its championship stage between U.S. and Canada, was a best of three series. So can you imagine if we had last night, but yet we still had maybe one or two more games to go? My goodness, this left me just aching for more. My appetite is wet here for the Olympics in 2026 and the World Cup as well coming after that. Because the NHL told us one thing: they realize how much theater, how much attention is coming when you put best on best. You have players putting on the jersey to represent their country as well. It sure as heck beats the All-Star Game. And I love watching the All-Star Game too, but we saw how much a fresh approach makes a big, big difference here. And from what I took away as well, Team Canada earned that win. And we'll talk about this later. Sam Bennett was nails, I thought, in that game for Canada. Connor McDavid, I thought, etched a big part of his legacy with that game-winning goal. But Team USA is not far off. They are not far off based on what we've seen out of them, the talent that they have put together on this roster, World Junior Championships, the women's side as well growing. This is going to be a fun rivalry here to watch, to see it percolate, and to see it grow for years to come. I can't recall seeing them. The number of hockey fans that were new and made from that game like I have in any other type of setting. Maybe since 1994 when we had the Rangers and the Canucks. That was magical, and I can't wait again, Doug.
Mike Benton here with us from the Kraken Audio Network. Of course, we are going to get you set on the Panthers and the Seattle Kraken coming your way tonight as both teams resume the NHL schedule. But, Mike, one more for you on the Four Nations, and it was in relation to what you just mentioned right there, because South Florida, Seattle, they're the two most distant locations in the NHL in the lower 48. But down here in South Florida, you could tell there were people who were casual sports fans, people who weren't really hockey fans. They were glued to the Four Nations faceoff all the way across the country in your neck of the woods. Was it the exact same thing? And you used the phrase a little bit, appetizer for the Olympics coming up a year from now. Do you think we're going to see this snowball effect rolling over the next year, the next calendar year, getting us ready for the Olympics? What was the buzz like, and how do you think people are going to be excited for the Olympics a year from now?
Well, I certainly hope that this, you know, grows and manifests into something bigger. And I think that we're certainly on the right path here to seeing that. Just, I think, based on the results of this tournament and the potential to have this grow as far as more players that are still, you know, maybe a bit green, they're a bit raw, but they might be on the radar here to make these teams. Plus also, you know, could you see Russia? I mean, Team Czechia couldn't play here. Team Germany couldn't, you know, play. And they've got Leon Draisaitl, who might take the scoring trophy here this year in the league. This is what makes me so excited because I think we're going to be seeing the same type of intensity and the same level of drama and energy that goes into every shift, but it's going to be in a longer schedule. That's what makes me so excited here for this. I think as far as the Seattle reaction here, it got a lot of buzz all across daytime sports talk radio. I remember taking my 10-year-old son, and I'm using this as like a small sample size, as we say, to kind of break down the analytics, whatever. I took him to his baseball practice last week. It was at an indoor facility. It's just, you know, still too wet, sloppy, damp up in our neck of the woods right now. But in this indoor facility, there are about roughly three or four TV monitors, all positioned, hanging from a ceiling above, like, kind of like an open concept area of couches. And I go in there sometimes, you know, they'll have on, you know, Sunday they'll have the NFL on, you know, I've seen baseball postseason on, you know, the random NHL game as well. But the last time I was there, they had the Four Nations game between Canada and Finland right before the championship game. And, you know, Canada pretty much, I mean, it wasn't, I would say, as I think, dull with the implications as USA-Sweden was, because that was just a glorified exhibition game before the championship game. But there was still general interest in watching this game. I had roughly about 20 to 25 parents watching this. Kids were coming in and not yet ready for cage time watching this. And then random coaches who were in the middle of their training session running back out from the cages to watch this thing as well. What does that tell you about the reception that this thing is getting in areas where the game is still growing? And then I also introduced you to the Seattle Mariners, who are right now opening spring training in Arizona. And there was a bet laid down from last night, or from the game two nights ago. Manager Dan Wilson was part of this. He's a big hockey fan. He's been to Kraken games before. Lost a bet for the entire day. He was wearing Wayne Gretzky's vintage 1987 Canada Cup jersey in the press conference and at the cage as well. I believe the culprit here was Michael Saunders, who was seen the day before wearing a Team Canada jersey and carrying a hockey stick around just for laughs. But this has now reached Mariners proportions here. So, I mean, you can't, I think, picture a better scenario to grow the game than this kind of tournament. It has been phenomenal, Doug.
Mike Benton here with us in talking Four Nations Faceoff. Of course, it just wrapped up and now getting you set for the resumption of the NHL schedule coming up tonight. Panthers and the Seattle Kraken in the back half of the two-game season series. And, well, Mike, why don't we go right to that? What do you expect as these two teams get back on the ice and sort of unconventional to have a gap like that in the NHL schedule? I know in the Panthers' case, they did have eight guys playing in the Four Nations faceoff, but a gap in the NHL schedule for a lot of guys, it was a chance to decompress a little bit. But what do you expect when these two teams get things going tonight?
Well, I'm curious on how the few days of practice the Kraken have taken will help them out for a game like this. And I think to me, just from the surface, it kind of reminds me of opening day or the first week of the season as we get into it, where you're not in full-blown regular season mode yet. There are still systems being worked out. There's still rust being knocked off as well. So I think for a long break like this, for how many players who have sat out for about roughly 2 weeks, and even some have enjoyed their time going to Hawaii, going to Cabo. It's one of those games, I think, where you have to kind of expect the unexpected. And it may be sloppy. It may be head-spinning. It won't feel like, I think, a game that feels as dialed in as November and December, where you've got teams who've got their systems locked down and things are moving more symmetrically here. So I think the question for me is, how well-rested are the Kraken for the game like this versus rust? And I think this is part of the plan of getting into town about a few days early and getting ready. The Panthers, as you know, had one day to, you know, work this out, and they didn't have a full-blown squad after the Four Nations break, and they've got players basically, you know, being parachuted in, pardon the expression, on the fly to play in a game like this. Matthew Tkachuk reportedly is not going to be in the mix here for this game, so you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you have more of a high-scoring affair than usual, if you see more defensive breakdowns than usual. So I really feel that it's a team who makes the least amount of mistakes that's going to make a big, big difference here. I'm curious where, as of this recording, where Brandon Montour fits. He barely played in the last game before the break because of an injury against Calgary. Jordan Eberle still trying to work his way back, but he is on the trip as well, too. That could be a big X factor additionally. And where you look at this right now, and I know that you've got the Panthers locked in as far as where they're at and the challenges that they have. Here's the Kraken scenario right now. They come into this part of the schedule out of the holiday break 11 points out of a playoff spot. They're basically out of mulligans, Doug. And to have even a sliver of hope here in this, they have to get wins and get them ripped off quickly. And there is nothing like jumping into the deep end than getting right at it here with Florida and then the very next day at Tampa Bay, and then play 3 and 4 where you go to St. Louis as well. So it's going to dictate a lot of where this team is going to be, maybe in 2 weeks come trade deadline time, where there are a lot of expiring contracts right now in question on this roster. But for this team that is trying to cling on to anything, they have got to get to a winning trend here quick. So we'll see where they're dialed in here from the get-go, which could be a big key here for this one.
And one last one for you here, Mike, and we talked about it a little bit the last time these two teams played when you joined me on this show and when I joined you on your programming as well. But the 2024 Stanley Cup champions, Brandon Montour was a part of that group, and he was a Panther going back the last few years. Same goes for Josh Mahura, two guys who are going to be part of South Florida sports lore forever because they were a part of that group and their names are on the Stanley Cup. What can you say about what those two guys have brought to the fold in Seattle now, their first season with the club?
Wonderful additions. And I'll just begin here with Montour, who I thought brought in an element of this team that was missing on the back end. He was an upgrade offensively and just had a dynamite start to this season with the way that he's able to manage the puck, run the point from the power play. And it showed that when he's dialed in and Vince Dunn's healthy, that's a big threat to be able to move the puck and produce offense, which they need more of here for this team collectively, as far as a five-man power play unit. Josh Mahura, Was kind of a seventh man to begin this season, and ever since the Will Borgen trade, has settled in more and more as a depth role, and has looked quite fine out there. Montour, I thought, has been a great emotional driver of this team and their energy from the dressing room, and you can certainly tell the role that he played with this Florida team and how much that made a big difference as well. I think he's been a fantastic add for this team, and I campaigned for about probably the first half of the season. He was your MVP. Now, he's slowed down a little bit. He went through a bit of a skid, finally broke out of roughly 20-some-odd games here without a goal, but there's been little to no question as far as where he's fit on this blue line, chewing up big minutes. And for the contract that he's signed, it's a long one, it's a lengthy one, but so far he's making a big difference. And as far as Mahura's case is concerned, I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions where this blue line's going to be heading here with their roster, with where contracts are at. But for Josh Mahura's sense, the more of a game that he plays that's on the simple side, the more effective he is, and he's been great in the room as well, too. So you can certainly see why they made a big difference here with this Panthers team that made a run all the way to the top last year. We're in the mix the year before, and they've been fantastic, and I'm certainly betting here it's going to be a very, very emotional game coming up here for them.
Mike Benton, thanks so much, as always, for stopping by. Have a great broadcast tonight.
You too, Dougie. Appreciate you, bud.
That is Mike Benton. Conversation I had with him comes to us from the Kraken Audio Network. Does fine work there. You can find him on Twitter, X, Benton_Mike. And again, does great work covering things from the Seattle perspective. You can hear him on their broadcast as well. And we thank him for his time stopping by. Folks, we're going to step aside. We're getting you set, of course, for the Panthers and the Seattle Kraken tonight, 6 o'clock, 5:30 pregame on the radio network. Coming up on the other side, it is Heart Month. And from our friends at Baptist Health, Dr. Eli Friedman, Director of Sports Cardiology, Baptist Health South Florida, we're going to have a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. He joined Jameson Olive and I for an episode. It dropped yesterday. We'll play a section of that episode. If you like what you hear, you can hear the entire thing at floridapanthers.com/territorytalk. That's coming up on the other side. Panthers and the Kraken tonight at 6. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Doug Plagan's with you. It's the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Back here on Panthers Insider, Panthers and the Seattle Kraken tonight at 6:30 pregame across the radio network. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. I'm Doug Plagans. This week on the Territory Talk podcast, which you can find at floridapanthers.com/territorytalk or wherever you find your podcast, we were joined as part of Health Month by our friend Dr. Eli Friedman, Director of Sports Cardiology at Baptist Health South Florida. And well, here's a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. We asked Dr. Friedman what simple steps people can take for heart health.
And I think a lot of the notion out there through marketing and whatever else is that everyone's got to be Sasha Barkov or Matthew Tkachuk or Sergei Bobrovsky in order to exercise. And that's the level that we expect. The truth is that's just not the case. We just want people to move with purpose, whether it's just going for a walk, riding a bicycle, getting on an elliptical, maybe it's dancing, whatever it is, do it with purpose, do it 20 to 30 minutes at a time, do it multiple times throughout the week. Simply moving the body is really all you need to do. Now, if you want to go be an all-world hockey player and want to go be the captain of the Finnish hockey team for the Four Nations, great, go do that. I'm sure Sasha would love to have you be on the team with him. But at the same time, we don't all have to aspire to those levels. It's simply just doing something with purpose and doing it often, and that will check the box for exercise.
And Dr. Friedman, obviously, if I'm a person that hasn't, you know, worked out a ton recently, I'm not trying to wrap myself out here. I do my best. But if I'm a person like that, what's the easiest way, at least for my heart health, to kind of ease back into it? Obviously, I'm not going to go from sitting on the couch to running a marathon in a week.
Yeah, I failed, Jameson, because this is the third year in a row you're telling me that. So we got to get you doing something before next year. Just like I said, anything. And as you said, easing into it. If it's walking for 5 minutes just to start, I was talking to somebody about that earlier who's getting back from an injury. It's literally that's totally fine. Just build. You have to think of this as building on top of itself. Don't get in there and you know, start sprinting right away. Slowly build up the pace, build up the aerobic capacity, and then you'll be flying in no time. But it does take time. It takes effort and it takes diligence to build it up. And exercise is the healthiest medicine that there is. All these other medicines I prescribe are great. But at the end of the day, people who exercise, live longer than those who don't. So we really want to make this accessible to everybody.
Dr. Friedman, we talked to a lot of folks out there. There are a lot of people, they think of exercise, and it's true, but they think of either stepping into a gym or they think of going out to a track and putting in the time. But there are sports you can play that are exercise, plain and simple. If you had to tell somebody, who there are a lot of folks out there, hey, my favorite way to exercise is to physically go out and play a sport, whatever that sport might be. Do you have any that you recommend? What are some things that people can go out and do, again, with maybe just minimal resources or equipment?
It's a fantastic question. I'm so glad you're asking it. So sports is just a really funny thing. I played sports growing up. Obviously, as you mentioned, my kids are involved in sports now. It's just a major part of our lives. There's something about being involved in sport that again, is really good for the body, mind, and soul. So hockey's great. It's a team-based sport. You build social relationships. You're moving and grooving. You're engaging muscles and the cardiovascular system. That's great. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about tennis because I'm involved in professional tennis. People who play tennis live 9 years longer than other sports. Again, minimal equipment. You can just go out and find a court and play for free. And again, that social aspect involving and engaging with others really does really good things for our bodies and our minds. And again, our souls. So any sport you do, anything that you do, we shouldn't make the bar so high that people think that they got to go get a gym membership. Again, if that works for you, great. But if you just want to meet up with a couple guys and I hesitate to say it, but the beer league hockey, maybe the water league hockey, that's wonderful. And again, making this as accessible and ready for everybody is the best thing we can do.
And I got to point out, Barkey plays hockey and tennis, so I think he's going to live to be about 105. So that's great news for the Florida Panthers, hearing all this information.
Yeah, totally, right? And he'll be playing the whole time. You always catch Barkey at Wimbledon, you know, after the season's over, sitting there watching. It's just great to see, and he's a huge tennis fan. I know others are too. We'll see them at the Miami Open in a month or so also.
Can't wait. But obviously, you know, things can still go bad with your heart, especially as you get older. Just how important is it to not only be aware of CPR, but at some point in your life to learn CPR, to be ready to save the day at a moment's notice?
Yeah, it's as important as learning how to brush your teeth and wash your hands. This is a life skill, and we should empower everybody with it. We've all seen the events take place with very high-profile professional athletes over the last several years, so we're akin to think that this is going to happen more likely on a basketball court, a football field, or a dance studio, but it's actually more likely to happen in our own home. So we want to teach everybody how to do this. It's super simple to do. You don't necessarily have to get certified and sit in one of those 2 to 4 hour courses to do it. You can just watch a YouTube video, and we know that will make you more likely to perform CPR and use an AED should the situation arise. And, you know, all this stuff with mouth to mouth, it's important to learn how to do that. You don't have to do that. Again, if this is going to happen in your own home, you're probably going to want to do that if it's a loved one. So just learning the skills is really important. Again, as important as washing our hands and brushing our teeth. And there's lots of ways to learn how to do it, as I said.
Dr. Friedman, is there a heart test that can prevent heart disease or detect heart risks? I know heart scans are a big thing nowadays, and they're not that hard to get.
Yeah. So the most important thing somebody can do is go get their physical exam, know their numbers, blood pressure, heart rate, cholesterol, blood sugars. Those are really important to do. And then having a discussion with your healthcare provider about getting one of those heart scans, otherwise known as a calcium score. People will be listening to this during Heart Month. They tend to be discounted. It's about $45 or so during the month of February, usually about 80 or so outside of that. It's a scan that can detect plaque in the heart arteries, something that can be very helpful to certain people. Again, maybe not for everybody to do that, but having a discussion with people you trust can really push you in the right direction. And then that can identify problems in addition to all of those other things I mentioned in terms of risk factors to help mitigate the risk of heart disease, strokes, and other things later on in life.
Like you said, Dr. Freeman, obviously a heart scan can kind of set off some red flags, let you know if things are wrong, when you need help. But just without a heart scan, is there any reasons I should be going to the Miami Cardiac and Vascular Institute? Is there any kind of triggers I should say, you know what, I'm feeling some way, I should head to the Institute?
Yeah, we love business, but we really want to help those who need help. And so just everybody coming off the street, coming in and going to see a cardiologist, we're happy to help. But certainly if you're having chest discomfort, abnormal breathing, skipping or racing heartbeats, perhaps you fainted, perhaps there's a really bad family history of heart disease or people dying suddenly without a cause, these are all really important reasons to get checked out. So again, being aware of what your risk factors are, being aware of family history, which in some ways is the most powerful predictors of our health. Maybe we smoked at one point in time, didn't take such good care of ourselves, but now we are, and we're trying to exercise again and wanting to have a discussion about those things. Those are great reasons to come visit me and my colleagues at the Miami Cardiac and Vascular Institute.
Dr. Eli Friedman there, one of our favorite guests. You can hear the whole conversation, floridapanthers.com/territory talk. Joining us from our friends at Baptist Health, Florida Talk and Heart Month. Folks, big thanks to all of our guests, Dr. Friedman, Mike Benton, AJ Greer back in the first segment. Panthers and the Seattle Kraken coming up tonight at 6:30 pregame across the radio network. That's it for this edition of the Panthers Insider Show. For Dan Day on the other side of the glass, big thanks to our guests. Big thanks to all of you. I'm Doug Plagans. We'll talk to you tonight. This has been Panthers Insider. Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.